I'm Eli Manning.
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa in the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Coming up on the show, we're going to take a look back at Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker, one of the stars of the 1990 Super Bowl champion Giants. But to get things started, it's time to take you inside the film room as we take a look at Olivier Vernon and Damon Snacks Harrison. Now we're going to start with Olivier Vernon. David Deal takes a closer look at the talented pass rusher.
This is what I love doing, Papa, is breaking down film, especially of offensive and defensive line. We're going to start right now. He's at the right defensive end position up against Tyron Smith, who is one of the premier left tackles in the NFL. Right now, we're going to see him, number one, honor the run on a play action, but the ability to have a double move and the speed to come up with a sack. Tony Romo is going to have the play action run inside. Tyron Smith sets inside, has that anchor, but Olivier Vernon has the production on the inside to maintain leverage, but also is able to quickly convert it into a pass rush move in order to come up with the sack and the pressure.
All right, now we're going to take a look at Olivier Vernon playing the run quite efficiently as well.
He is actually very deceptive. He has got long arms. He is able to stack, shed at the line of scrimmage. If it is a big and offensive tackle, he has the anchor to sit down and be able to hold the line of scrimmage. But right now, we're going to see him completely dominate a future Hall of Famer in Jason Witten. They're going to try to motion over Jason Witten to get the advantage to run an outside sweep. You're going to see him at the top of the screen completely shed Jason Witten, with the play having no place to go whatsoever, let alone to have the play start. See him at the top of the screen, sees the motion, maintains outside discipline. Jason Witten has no chance. Stop, tackle for a loss. That's the way that you want to do it.
And him using his hands there, obviously a key factor. Good look at Olivier Vernon.
Great look, and looking forward to seeing him in a Giants uniform.
David, you can get after the quarterback all you want, but you better be able to stop the run. And the Giants bolstered their run defense this offseason by signing unrestricted free agent Damon Snacks Harrison. Let's take a look at some of his plays and what makes him a unique player.
Damon Harrison Snacks is a great addition for the interior of the defensive line for the New York Giants. Number one, you think of all the defensive linemen in the NFL, including defensive ends. He had the third most tackles with 72. J.J. Watt had 76. Khalil Mack had 77. That just goes to show you that he can get the production that you need inside, but also has the athletic ability to play the position and move laterally down the line of scrimmage, which we're going to show you right now. Okay, we're going to start off against the Buffalo Bills. You're going to see Woods and Incognito, the left guard, trying to work a double team up to the linebacker. But where David Harris is, they cannot work on the one technique. The center has to work up to the next level. So basically, it's up to Richie Incognito, who played Pro Bowl level this year, to cut him off backside one-on-one. That's not going to happen, Bob Papa, because watch the athletic ability. He sees it, gets his hands on Richie Incognito, but right away, he has his eyes the entire time looking through into the backfield to make another big stop for a zero-yard gain. That is what he is capable of doing at the line of scrimmage.
You know, and he brings a unique set of athleticism to the table. He's a smart guy, works really hard. You got one more play to look at as far as what he brings to the table.
And this is my favorite play that I was able to pick out this season from Damon Harrison. Watch what he's able to do in this play. The New England Patriots are in shotgun. They have everything condensed and tight. So you see him looking. So number one, he gets the penetration on the center, gets his hands inside, boom, pushes him back. Watch the backside left tackle trying to pull. Has absolutely no place to go. Number two, tackle knocks out the running back. Running back has to cut back. But Damon Harrison keeps his eyes on the running back throughout the entire time and makes the tackle. So he takes two blockers, makes the running back cut back, and makes the tackle on the play. That's called the trifecta right there.
All right, just one quick follow-up, though. In that formation, he's playing out of a 3-4. Is it a big adjustment to a 4-3?
You know, no, it isn't, because you either in the 4-3, you will play that shade sometimes where you're playing the one technique, but there will be times where you're playing that one technique head up based on the stem and alignment of the defensive lineman. Not to mention, as an offensive lineman, you'd hate to have him as the one instead of the head-up nose tackle, because if he's that one, the odds of a guard getting from the backside up to that next level are way harder than having that open space where you have that space room between the center, the guard, and the tackle.
Getting pressure on the quarterback and stopping the run, two things that will be a key to the Giants' success defensively in 2016. Now it's time for this week's edition of Sideline Jam. Back here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. You know, NFL players always look for different ways to train in the offseason and to apply different techniques from different sports to their own game. In this case, Justin Pugh decided to make good use of his hands, training MMA style.
Guys, it's Justin Pugh from the Giants here. I just want to bring you guys out here to LA where I train in the offseason, to my gym, Unbreakable, where I do MMA training, boxing. It's a little bit of alternative to get us ready for the season.
Get under me, stay low. Nice and low. Good. Boom, under. Okay? Boom, under. Good work, good work, good work. I like it, I like it, I like it.
I met Glazer during the Broncos-Seahawks Super Bowl. That was in New York, and he was telling me to, you know, come out to his gym, try it out. He was just opening his gym up.
We do a lot of body-on-body work, which is going to do right now. Lower your levels, Justin, lower your levels. Lower your levels, shoulder-width apart. Time, switch it up. I've always been around working out with different athletes, and especially I got involved in the fight game very, very early. And back then, we didn't really know how to train, especially in the early days of mixed martial arts.
As a player, the lower you are, the better. Leverage wins all, right? The only way to get leverage, you got to be under somebody.
We teach these guys body control, how to really impose their hips and impose their will.
If I'm a defensive lineman playing against Justin Pugh, and boom, we get our hands on each other, and I can move him that way, I can either rip through or he's screwed, okay?
And we're in here working hard. I mean, some of the hardest workouts I've done in my life, through college, through pros.
8, 9, 10, down. Good. Jump. 1.
I've gotten 10 times better since I got here. Now I'm being successful in the mat. I'm seeing that reap the benefits, and my mental attitude has definitely changed. And I think I'm definitely going to bring the fighter mentality back to you know, the Giants' offensive line.
Very good, very good. You come in here, it's one thing that nobody else has. We have this guy over here named David. Everybody talks about strengthening your core. We're the only place that spends a ton of time loosening your core. The looser your core, the stronger you'll be.
8, 9. Nice. Beautiful.
This is the last thing I do here at the gym. This is Jan Pellucci. She's like a rehab specialist. So we come over here, she gets us right, gets us back into it. They're like hitting trigger points and like hitting like inflamed areas. And literally she's working on my foot right now, going all the way down to my foot. I mean, I was hoping to just gain an edge. Guys try to find all sorts of different training, and I think this is something that has changed my conditioning, has changed my mental attitude, has changed everything about the way I approach the game, and I'm looking forward to taking it back and using it on the field.
Pretty cool stuff from Justin Pugh, using his hands in a unique fashion, but then applying it to the football field. Speaking of using your hands, you need that to make sushi. Our Giants Access Blue cameras followed Rashad Jennings when he was in Miami working his hands at a culinary skill.
I'm here at Asia Bay, and I have the pleasure of Chef Rex here with me. He's going to take me through the 101 on how to make sushi.
The rough side, always on top.
Rough side, always on top.
Then grab some rice, then just put it on the very top. Spread it out.
All right. Two crab sticks.
You got chicken broth and your
favorite. Avocados. Well, I love cooking, and this field of cooking inspires me because I love sushi. There's a way to make it health conscious, and it's good finger food. Here to flip.
Yeah, flip it, tuck it in.
Voila.
Oh, here we have a California roll. Crab stick, avocados, cucumbers, seaweed, surrounded by rice.
It's good eat.
This came out pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I told him. He's gonna be the new head chef.
Pretty cool stuff with Rashad Jennings doing the sushi. We roll to a very good end of his season as well. When we come back, the touchdown maker, Stephen Baker, here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. We're back here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. This past season, the Giants celebrated the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Super Bowl champion Giants. Who could ever forget the touchdown maker, Stephen Baker? He's the focus of Where Are They Now?
Giants legend, clutch performer,
touchdown, Baker!
Community leader, collector, and a self-described super nerd. But for Stephen Baker, life after football has given him more of an opportunity to enjoy some of his favorite hobbies, and a tour around his New Jersey apartment would make any Giants fan envious.
All right, so this is my section. This was done by Michael Jackson, a good friend of mine on Facebook. It's my touchdown in the Super Bowl. This is also done by someone on Facebook, a great rendition, I must say. This is my tribute to Super Bowl 25, my Super Bowl replica trophy, and the greatest kick miss in Buffalo Bills history, and the greatest for Giant fans. All my memorabilia from the Super Bowl, I have the guide, it's in mint condition. This is my little wall of fame here as well. And this is the picture I'm most proud of all my teammates. You know, it was a special year for us. And this is me doing my nerd thing. I'm a big Marvel fan. I love Spider-Man. I love Iron Man. And, you know, I love this. Every time I come home, I walk down the hallway. Sometimes this thing scares me because I forget it's here. Batman, of course. Who doesn't like Batman? Love my Darth Vader. I love my Star Wars. I mean, how could you not like this thing? It makes noise. It don't get no better than that. Only a nerd would like something like that, and that's me. This is the Millennium Falcon Lego. Unlike the other one, which is a toy, this was a Lego that I had to assemble. It was very time consuming, but very rewarding. Most people don't know, but I always wanted to be a Formula One driver. I love speed. This is my Thrustmaster F1 replica wheel where I can race on any F1 track and race online against other opponents. Well, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted a remote control airplane, but back in the day, those things used to cost about $400. So when I got my first NFL check, I went right to America's Hobby Center and bought a remote control car. And now it's escalated into airplanes, helicopters, cars, try to do a little bit of all. This is my helicopter section. Starting off with my big boy here. This is a gasser. Back in the day, we flew these big 8-pound monsters, and they run on gasoline or nitro fuel. But the hobby now has gone more electric. So I have an electric 500 EC-135 here. And one of my favorite planes ever would be the P-51 Mustang Red Tail. This is my tribute to the Tuskegee Airmen. She's due to take flight before this summer is up. You know, I've been doing this ever since, what, about 15 years now? This is my home away from home. Any sunny day, if I'm not busy, this is where you'll find me. That excitement that I had on game day, and I'm not joking, when I gotta fly a new plane or a helicopter, I get that same excitement when I gotta drive to the field. I'm making preparations like I did for the game, getting all my stuff ready, and it's like game day every time. I try to fly things that save people's lives. Just a passion of mine. So this is a Medevac helicopter. And it just looks so nice against this sky and the trees and the background. To me, this is like playing in the NFL. It's the best hobby in the world.
If I could do it all over again, I probably would have wanted to be an engineer. This is my little way of being a little engineer because, you know, it's a lot of technology involved and it's just a lot of fun. This has always been a passion. I also tell the kids it's okay to be a nerd, but I'm a cool nerd. I said, how many nerds you know scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl? I always explain to people that I'm a fan that was able to play the game. When I go fly my helicopters, wherever I go, I always have on a giant hat or a giant shirt. And to be a part of something so cool, you know, I always dreamed of playing in the NFL. This team took a chance on me, so I'm still living the dream.
Not only did Stephen Baker have some of the biggest catches at the most important times for the Giants, but he has been a class act off the field as well. When we come back, we'll tell you about a Giants linebacker who's deep into style. All that and much, much more here on Giants Access Blue after this. We're back here on Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. You know, players like to dress nice when they're on the road, so Devon Kennard decided to give you some tips on the do's and don'ts as far as suits that you wear.
One thing that a lot of people do, a lot of guys, don't realize that you always want to show about a half inch, at least a half inch of your shirt sleeve. It looks really sharp. When your shirt sleeve is swallowing and your jacket sleeve is swallowing up your shirt sleeve,
right,
it ends up lending to a sloppier, less tailored overall look. Every now and then, not too often, but every now and then you see somebody walking around with a tag on their sleeve. Take these labels off. Always take the labels off. So,
good tip. I might have left that around.
There's also, if you want to turn around just a bit, usually the vents of the jacket are tacked shut. You're going to want to also remove these threads here that are holding that into place. It allows you to move the jacket without interrupting the line of the drape of the suit. Another thing that you're also going to want to open up is you're going to want to open up, usually the breast pocket is sewn shut or tacked shut, just temporarily. This is another little kind of styling opportunity for yourself. Do not open your pocket sleeves down here though.
Keep those locked shut?
Yeah, you know why?
Why is that?
You got pockets inside your jacket. You got pockets in your pants, which you want to try and keep stuff out of the front of your pants. Mm. For the same reason that you don't want to put stuff in here, it's going to interrupt the drape of the jacket and interrupt the shape. And you're going to end up with a bunch of bulky stuff. You're going to have to stick a big cell phone in there. You're not going to want that.
Okay.
Okay? One really kind of basic rule of thumb with patterned shirts is if you're wearing a patterned shirt, starting with a solid tie is a great, really, really easy matchup. I would just suggest that you go with something blue so you got another little pop of color.
I've always heard, you know, it's important to make sure the tie lands at the right place.
It's really, really important. So the kind of the sweet spot, it's right in between the top and the bottom of the buckle.
Okay.
You want that tip to fall just right about there.
So I have a question. You know, I've seen clips before, and I never know when a good time is to wear one, when it'll, like, complement my suit well or not.
You know, a tie clip is kind of, it's whenever you feel like it. It's an extra decoration. It's an extra, like, stylish little piece of flair that you can kind of add to your outfit. Once you get the tie on, where do you put the tie clip? The buttons down from the collar. You've got the first button, the second button, and the third button. Good rule of thumb is to somewhere in between the second and the third button. Your tie clip usually looks the best where it's kind of splitting the difference between the knot of your tie and the button of your jacket. Once everything else is all put together, my two go-tos for pocket squares. You got the razor sharp, you know, half inch popping out, or then you just take the pocket square, you drape it over your hand, you grab it in the middle, and without much to do, you just jam it in there. It's a little more decorative. Okay. It's a little bit more flamboyant. You don't have to worry about how much or how little is showing. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to express yourself no matter what, even if you're not wearing a tie. Just, you know, jamming a pocket square into that pocket adds a little bit more flair, panache, and style.
Okay.
Pretty good stuff from Devon Kennard. Now it's time for this week's edition of Papa's Perspective. All right, so think about this show. We've got Justin Pugh, MMA, Rashad Jennings making sushi in Miami, and Devon Kennard talking about suits. So you sit there and you say to yourself, interesting. But that really does explain what life is like in the National Football League. These guys work really hard during the course of the season, but they have lives, they have interests outside of the game. And it's those players that cultivate those interests outside of the game that will pave the way for what they do when their careers are over. Because the National Football League is a league in which the life expectancy is not that long. It's a short pro career for the average guy. So the more players can afford themselves opportunities to learn about different things and explore those options, sets them up for the rest of their lives, which is very important for them as people. And that's my perspective. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and of course at Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Popple. We'll see you again next Saturday night right here on My Nine for another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota.
This week's Papa's Perspective was brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife, get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.